This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In Earl's biblical sense, I am beyond repentant. Fang hooker,
sex worker,
wench, thou met her mind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins to gather to me, which I will. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
Sex worker, damn it.
Go get some.
You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
You are tuned into the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Thank you to the boys from the Cubby House. It's always a great show. And I did make a special cameo appearance in there, so that was pretty awesome. You are tuned into your weekly radio show that explores life, issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is publicly broadcasted directly to your radios. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are tuned into the Vixen Hour. If at any point you want to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427JOY949. You can also send us an email at onair@joy.org.au or call the front desk on 1300JOY949. Fernando's there and he'd love to hear from you and we would love to hear from you. The topic for tonight's show is looking at sex worker organising because at the end of this week, on the 3rd of March, is International Day for Sex Worker Rights. And in the studio, I'm joined by the fabulous Rani Bell.
Hi, Christian.
Hi, Rani. Listeners might remember Rani from our very first episode of the Vixen Hour. So, yeah, Rani helped me launch the show. How are you?
I'm well.
It's good to hear.
Good to be back.
Yay. So we are talking about sex worker organising. And on the show, we will be chatting to a founding member of the Vixen Collective, Tabitha. We'll hopefully be able to play her interview soon. And we'll also be looking at Rani's story because I think it's a really interesting story about how sex workers do look for sort of connections and challenging that isolation. But we'll get to that later in the show. We are talking about International Sex Worker Rights Day. I'm wondering, Rani, can you tell me what International Sex Worker Rights Day is?
Well, it's a day that's celebrated around the world by groups and individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They want to recognise and defend the rights of sex workers.
Uh-huh. And how did this day start off?
It started back in 2001.
Yep.
There was over 25,000 sex workers.
Wow.
Gathered in India for a festival.
Uh-huh.
Now, this festival went on despite prohibitionist groups lobbying the government to remove their permit for the festival.
Uh-huh.
So it's quite historic.
Great. So the event was organised by a group in India called Dubai Mahila Samanwaya Committee, or the DMSC, as most people sort of abbreviate it. Mm-hmm. And that's a Bengali word, and it actually means Unstoppable Women's Synthesis Committee, which is, sounds pretty amazing, hey?
Yep.
So the DMSC, or abbreviated to Dubai, is a collective of 65,000 sex workers in West Bengal, established on February 15th. 1992 in Sonagachi, which is the largest red light area in Kolkata, West Bengal in India. It's estimated that 11,000 sex workers work from there at any given time. Durva has been working on women's rights and sex worker rights, advocacy, anti-human trafficking, and working on HIV/AIDS prevention. The Durbar states that its aims are challenging and altering the barriers that form the everyday reality of sex workers' lives as they relate to their poverty and ostracism. And they do pretty amazing things. So Durbar runs 51 free clinics for sex workers in the West Bengal area with the support from organizations such as the Ford Foundation and the National AIDS Control Organization in India, who also helped Durbar in its initiatives like networking, rights protection, and creating alternative livelihood for sex workers and their families.
So, wow. Yeah,
they do a lot of work.
It's amazing.
If people want to read up about the DMSC, we have posted links to our Facebook, on our Facebook page, and people can find that at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. That's the Vixen Hours Facebook page, and we've provided links to the DMSC on there. But, you know, taking it back home, there's a number of sex worker organisations that are really active in Australia. A lot of these are peer-based, so that means that they are organisations that are made up of sex workers. And I'm wondering if you could name a few for me there, Rani.
Well, in South Australia, we've got SEN.
Mm-hmm. So that stands for the Sex Industry Network.
Swagger.
Yep, I'm not sure what that stands for, but it's an abbreviation. there's links on our Facebook page.
Okay, the ACT has SWAP, ACT. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Queensland, there's Respect Inc.
Now, that's an amazing organisation in that it's an independent, autonomous, sex worker-only organisation that provides outreach services to the sex workers of Queensland.
Great. New South Wales, we've got SWAP New South Wales.
Now, SWAP New South Wales was traditionally part of the AIDS Council, and it's currently working towards trying to be an autonomous, peer-based organisation, which I think is really, really great and worth mm-hmm. recognising.
Mm-hmm. There's Nothing About Us Without Us campaign by sex workers working to inform policy and laws.
Yes, so that's a group based out of New South Wales. They're pretty amazing. They've got a really amazing website. Again, the links to all of these groups are on our Facebook page.
Northern Territory, we've got SWAP Northern Territory as well.
Mm-hmm. Again, part of the AIDS Council up there, or NTARC. SWAP Northern Territory is a really amazing, dedicated team. Sometimes it's only like one or two people, but they're pretty committed to their sex workers providing services for other sex workers.
One of my favourites, Debbie Doesn't Do It For Free.
Debbie Doesn't Do It For Free. Now, do you know who they are and what they do?
They're a group of sex workers who are artists and performers.
That's right. They're a pretty amazing performance art troupe, so that, you know, like to discuss, be politically active about sex worker issues through arts and performance. So, yeah, pretty amazing group.
Victoria, we've got
Vixen.
Hooray.
So yeah, that's an unfunded collective of sex workers in Victoria who do things like, we'll hear more about Vixen actually when we play the interview with Tabitha. I'm having a bit of trouble with it at the moment, but hopefully it will be up. So Vixen's been
mm-hmm. Sorry, and the Peak Body Scarlet yes. Alliance.
So the Scarlet Alliance is the National Association of Sex Workers. So wherever you are in Australia, there is a sex worker organisation. There are some states that sadly don't have one that's entirely peer-based, but if you look for funded sex worker services, quite often they might be able to direct you to where you can find sort of peer-based support if you are a sex worker. So I know we haven't listed anywhere, for example, for Tasmania. Well, Scarlet Alliance does do some work in Tasmania, so if you're a Tasmanian sex worker, you could probably find the Scarlet Alliance outreach workers down there. But in Western Australia, there's a couple of groups. They're not entirely made up of just sex workers. Quite often, they're made up of other workers. Those links are on the Scarlet Alliance page. So wherever you are in Australia, you can find support. You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If at any point you want to text in, you can do so on 0427 Joy 949. We're going to some messages now.
You can have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949.
We're here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, and we're fortunate enough to be joined by the fabulous Tabitha.
Hello.
So tonight's episode of the Vixen Hour is all about sex worker organising, and Tabitha has played quite a unique role in that in our home state of Victoria. I'm just wondering, Tabitha, if you could explain what you've done.
I am the founding member of an organisation called Vixen, which I'm sure you will have talked about on this show already, seeing that it's called the Vixen Hour.
Yeah, geez, I wonder where we got our name from.
Vixen is Victoria's peer organisation.
So for listeners who might not be familiar with what that actually means, can you explain what that is?
Sure. So a peer organisation is an organisation that is run by and for sex workers.
Excellent. Yeah. So only sex workers are allowed to join Vixen?
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. I'm wondering if you'd tell us how Vixen sort of came about.
Vixen started originally out of a conversation. So myself and another sex worker who were both political activists at the time started having a conversation about how we wanted to extend our political activism into our areas of workplace, i.e. Yeah. into our sex work. So we had a conversation about it, and then she went overseas. So that was very handy.
Yeah. And what sort of activism had you done prior to that conversation happening?
All kinds, really. Really. I'd been active in anarchist and autonomous movements. I'd done a lot of stuff around refugee activism, queer activism.
Fantastic.
Yeah, just rent a mob, really. Yeah, so that was how the idea of Vixen came about. And then it started off with, so I had that conversation probably in late 2004. And then a small group of us gathered together in 2005,
yep.
had a few meetings, and decided to use the Scarlet Alliance National Conference to launch ourselves as an organisation and also to produce a zine.
Yep, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's what we did.
Yay! So we've talked about the Scarlet Alliance on previous episodes. So for listeners who may not be familiar with those conversations, the Scarlet Alliance is the National Association of Sex Workers. Its membership is made up of peer-based member orgs, like Vixen, as Tabitha just described, and also individual members, so individual sex workers are able to join the Scarlet Alliance as well. So every year they do have a national forum and they bring together all of their members from around the country. And as Tabitha was saying, in 2005 the Scarlet Alliance National Forum was in Melbourne, and that was an opportunity for Vixen to come together. Was that right?
That's right. And it was really exciting for us because up until then we'd been quite a small group, and to actually be able to present ourselves in a conference of other sex workers was a really special moment for us. I think we were really proud, and it was great to meet other people, and there was a lot of enthusiasm for what we were doing, so that was awesome.
Fantastic. One of the things that we explore here at the Vixen Hour is the diversity of sex workers. So we recognise that not all sex workers are going to be the same, and not one definition of sex work applies to everyone. So I'm wondering, you know, what sort of sex workers were around? You know, how diverse was the group back then when it first started?
Back when the group first started, there was a core group of people who probably knew each other socially and had links that way, and probably were also quite politically active in other areas. So I guess we were quite a unique group of people in that we were able to articulate ourselves in certain ways, and so the idea of forming a group wasn't that hard for us. We were a diverse group of workers. I mean, obviously Vixen, as other peer organisations, recognise that sex work takes many different forms, and certainly there's many different forms of sex work represented in the group. But we were always very clear about the fact that we of course weren't going to be representative of all sex workers, because that's impossible. So we were representative of the people who wanted to be involved in Vixen at that time. And I guess as Vixen has grown, that's always been the case. Vixen's always been quite clear about the fact that it's not the voice of all sex workers in Victoria, but rather it's the voice of sex workers who want to be involved in Vixen.
Yep.
And certainly we don't claim that every sex worker in Victoria agrees with what we do or has the same aims or goals as us. But we do encourage all sex workers to be involved with us, and we are happy to have diversity of opinions within our group. That's what makes a group strong and makes a group work well, I think.
Yeah. Fantastic. I think that's quite often a misperception of community groups and lobby groups or advocacy groups, is that, you know, this core group of people who are doing all this work are representative of like whole populations of people, when in fact what they're trying to do is, I guess, fight for better human rights, better recognition of the whole group, but not necessarily reflecting the whole group.
Absolutely. And also fighting for a space. So what we're trying to do is provide a space for those who want to use it.
Yeah.
Certainly Vixen has grown really interestingly, and there are a really diverse range of people involved now. But I think that, of course, we'll never have every sex worker in Victoria as a member, because some people just either aren't interested in being involved in an organisation, or they don't have the luxury of being involved in an organisation. Maybe their focus is on their day-to-day life and they don't have time for other things. So we're there. We hope to represent as many people who want to represent us, but we would never go as far as saying that we represent everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, particularly when you're dealing with a group that is so marginalised. And I think the queer community can sort of identify with that. You know, if we outed people, like left, right and centre, or via our membership, if we recognise that, I think people would understand that isn't necessarily a very safe thing to do. And while the gay community has gone some way to challenge a lot of that stigma, with sex workers are still experiencing a lot of that. So we still have to sort of recognise that not everybody can be out or loud or as proud or vocal about their sex worker status.
Absolutely. And I mean, not everyone in Vixen is even out in their day-to-day life. You know, I'm not out in every area of my life, because I think, like many people, I have many different areas in my life, and some I'm out in and some I'm not. And I know it's the same for a lot of people in the group. So we certainly don't out people. We are a safe space, so we want people to contribute in a way that they feel comfortable. Obviously, the queer community have had a whole history around the outing situation, but it is quite different, I would say, within the sex worker community at the moment, purely because people can find themselves in really unsafe spaces. They can there can be legal ramifications, and there can be ramifications around maybe custody of children, and so obviously it's we're not quite as far down that path as a queer community is yet. Hopefully one day.
And I think that's really worth recognizing, because you know, this whole, you know, fight for human rights and recognizing equality, it's always worth noting that, you know, yes, some communities have experienced really good progress in that area, you know, to the point where the law actually protects them from discrimination, and hopefully that goes some way to addressing social stigma. Sex workers, not so great.
Well, we don't even have the protection of law at the moment. It's interesting. And I mean, I think the great thing about groups like Vixen is that within our own group, we can start to challenge some of that stigma and discrimination. I mean, there is sometimes a bit of a hierarchy within sex worker communities, and we really challenge that. We really recognise all types of work as having inherent value. And obviously, we're all quite diverse people as well. You know, I've heard before people saying that most people in the sex worker community would classify themselves as queer in some way. There are many non-able people. There are many people with mental health issues and other physical health issues. It's really nice that we provide a space where people can come together and celebrate their strengths.
Fantastic. Yay.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If at any point you do want to interact with the program, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427 569 949. That's 0427 Joy 949. Or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We're just going to go now to the second part of our interview with Tabitha.
Joy 94.9.
I'm just wondering if you can talk about, what does Vixen do?
Vixen does a lot of things, but I guess what we'd be most recognised for would be the Festival of Sex Work. So last year, a group of Vixen members came together and decided that rather than doing a lot of what we do, which is, I guess, fighting against things, we decided we wanted to have a celebration. So what we decided is that we wanted to hold a festival to celebrate the work that we did.
Mm-hmm. So and what are the sort of things that happened during the festival?
Well, it was a very exciting festival. There was heaps of really exciting stuff happening. Mm-hmm. We had an art show. We had Ask a Sex Worker a Question panel. We had a digital screening workshop where sex workers were able to work with some digital production managers to put their story down in a digital format. And then we had a screening of that. Mm-hmm. We had workshops. We had public forums. We had a party and celebration night. We had film screenings. Yep. We had social events. I mean, really, there were two streams to the festival.
Yeah.
One was that one was a public stream where events were open to anybody, and then there was a sex worker only stream, which was where we got to celebrate with our own community.
Yeah.
And I think both were really valuable and fantastically attended. It was great.
Tabitha, I'm wondering if you could talk about the importance of sex worker only spaces. Like, what do they mean for sex workers?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think as we've already said, there's a lot of stigma and discrimination around sex work, and it's really important for sex workers to have their own spaces so that we can talk to each other, A, safely, so that we know that we're not outing ourselves to anyone who might not understand us. B, we've got a sense of confidentiality there so that anything we share, we have control over where that information goes. And C, it's just really important for us as a group of people to have a space where we can discuss issues that we may not be ready to share with the wider community. Mm-hmm. And we need a space to kind of thresh through some ideas and come up with what we want to say, I guess. So, I mean, I guess if you look historically at, you know, separatist spaces, like lesbian separatist spaces, there's a really, you know, strong history of a reason why these spaces are important. And mm-hmm. so I guess we value that too.
Yay. Oh, and the Festival of Sex Work is happening again this year.
It is, yes. So that'll be happening from May the 30th, and that'll be happening for 4 days. And, yeah, we've got some really good stuff happening this year.
Excellent. Yay. So if people wanted to get into contact with Vixen, how would they do that?
The best way to contact us would be to jump on our website, which gives you all the different ways of contacting us. And our website address is www.vixencollective, as one word, .blogspot.com.au.
So in general broad strokes, Vixen is a collective of diverse sex workers. And you've talked about, I guess, a big public event that Vixen has done in the Festival of Sex Work. I'm wondering, what else does Vixen do, like, in terms of for the sex worker community in general?
Yeah, well, let me start by saying that Vixen, it is a collective of sex workers, a collective of diverse sex workers. One of the things I wanted to point out is that we don't have any members who are managers. So you must be an active or former sex worker who's not in management. That was something that was really important when we set Vixen up.
Of course, because you don't want somebody turning up to a Vixen meeting and suddenly their boss is there.
Absolutely. And obviously we recognise that people who are managing businesses have a whole other raft of priorities. Yeah, so that's, yeah. Vixen does a broad range of things. I mean, we get together on a fortnightly or monthly basis to plan events, discuss current sex work issues, support each other. I mean, there's a really strong social aspect to the group. I think that's really important to the group process. Quite a lot of our best ideas come around from sitting together, talking about what we do, and that kind of chain of events follows into ideas. We advocate on behalf of sex workers with government organisations. We provide a voice in the media for sex workers. We have a presence at Pride March every year. We give lectures sometimes at universities, or we do training sessions. We have a radio show. So,
oh, people are listening to it right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess really we do a lot.
Yeah.
And when you consider that Vixen is unfunded...
Mm-hmm. So wait, say that again.
Vixen is unfunded.
So how much money does Vixen get?
Vixen gets absolutely no money. So all the people involved in Vixen are doing it as volunteers, mm-hmm. As well as working within sex work. Many of them have other day jobs as well. Mm-hmm. Many of them have other volunteer roles. Many of them have families. And yet they still manage to do exactly what they're doing for absolutely zero money. So when you consider the fact that last year we put put on a week-long festival that attracted both state and national media coverage, all with the amount of $0. I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I think there's also a case to be made for Vixen to be funded.
Yeah.
You know, it's very unusual for there to be an unfunded organisation like Vixen, and I think someone should snap us up and give us lots of money.
for a group of sex workers who get no money, it sounds like we definitely punch above our weight.
I think so, yeah.
Yay. Being so stigmatised, I think most people can understand how lonely and isolated it can be for individual sex workers. I'm wondering, what do you think Vixen's contribution to that situation is?
Well, yeah, you're right. It can be lonely sometimes. And whatever area of sex work you're working in, there is often a strong component of being alone. Alone on the street, alone in peep shows, alone on a stage while you're stripping. Obviously alone as an escort getting bookings. A lot of workers are alone a lot. And because of the stigmatised nature of what we do, it's often hard to find channels to connect with other workers. So I think Vixen plays a really strong role in facilitating that. And I think by the public work that we do, by putting our voices out there on the media, by having our radio show, by putting on the festival, what we're saying is that it's okay to be a sex worker, that there are some fabulous sex workers out there who are really happy to connect with you. And certainly through the stuff I've done with Vixen, I have been lucky enough to meet the most amazing international community of sex workers. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's like a little secret club. It's like, you know, you get to give the secret handshake, and it opens doors for you wherever you go. And I definitely think that without the strong peer communities that we have throughout the world, I would lack a lot in my life. I've just really been lucky enough to meet some amazing people.
Fantastic. We're here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. Thank you, Tabitha, for joining us and telling us all about Vixen.
My pleasure, and I hope to see you all at the Festival of Sex Work this year.
Excellent. We'll put those details up on our Facebook page, and we'll post links to the Vixen Collective's website and contact details on our Facebook page as well.
Gee, she's fantastic, isn't she?
Isn't she? She's a really amazing person for someone I consider my friend, like, you know, and to actually take a step back and actually talk about that kind of stuff is really, really fantastic. And, you know, to want to bring people together, I'm really grateful that somebody, you know, actually went to the effort to do so.
I am too, and listeners will hear my story later and get a real gist of what I'm talking about when you say that.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely. I think, exploring the story of an organisation is fantastic, and that was all, you know, interesting and really, really inspiring and, you know, very meaningful to us, obviously. But I think what really needs to bring it home, and what we do here at the Vixen Hour, is bring the experience of and the actual voices of sex workers, and we'll be hearing that after this song and some messages.
A voice for sex workers, the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and Rani, and we've received an email. Fantastic show, guys. Look forward to podcasting your work and taking the time to listen to it. Well done, guys. And that person hasn't left their name, but they have sent that email via the Joy app, which is fantastic to see how technology is helping us get our voice out there. And they did raise a really important point that I forget to mention every episode, and that is that this show is podcasted. And I'm actually quite dedicated to that process. Like, it's usually podcasted within 48 hours of going to air. So, keep an eye out on our Facebook page and on the Joy podcasting site. You will be able to listen to the Vixen Hour in your own time. But right now, we are speaking to the fabulous Rani Bell. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yay. Now, I thought Rani's somebody who has had a really long and complex history in sex work, and every time she tells her story, I'm continually inspired. So I thought this might be a really good story to share. So just to explore a bit of history, how did you start doing sex work?
I started doing street sex work. Mm-hmm. That was back in the 80s, mid-80s.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so did you do that? Was it something that you did as part of your group with friends?
Oh, or? No. Mm-hmm. No. I did it in isolation of everyone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I had been living on the streets for a while and knew what people said about sex workers and what they...
Yeah. So you got to hear a lot of those stereotypes and prejudice come through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dirty junkie and... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're pretty demonized.
They are.
Yeah.
They
are. Yeah. So, and were a lot of those stereotypes... Like, what was your reaction to a lot of those stereotypes?
It was a bit... Well, for me, for one thing, I wasn't a drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
I felt more other at the time being a punk than I did being a sex worker.
So what did being a punk entail?
Oh, God. That was great fun, actually, for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
It entailed wearing lots of chains and studs and different colour hair. I was doing lots of rallies and... Uh-huh. Squatting as well. We did it in a bit of a group of us.
Mm-hmm.
We were all young and street kids and
stuck
together. But even in that scene, there was prejudice against sex workers.
Yeah, so you did it without them knowing. So you
That's
went,
right.
So you went. You were very closeted as
I was, and I didn't do it as openly as a lot of the sex workers did at the time. Mm-hmm.
How did you do it?
Well, I would just walk down the street, you know. I'd go from home to the shops and back again and have done a job in the meantime.
Yeah, excellent. So it wasn't a case of, like, hanging out on a street corner like something?
No. I didn't wait for work.
Mm-hmm. Work came to you.
Work came to me.
Cool. So you did that for a little while?
Yeah, I did that for a few years.
Uh-huh.
Then the punk scene was getting too heavy for me. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of people were using drugs and ODing. There was a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
There's a lot of police raids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of violence. It just wasn't my thing anymore.
Yeah.
And I went back to my dreams as a really young teenager.
Mm-hmm. And what was that?
Well, I always wanted to do hairdressing in London.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I saved enough money to get a one-way ticket to London.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I spent 3 years overseas.
Uh-huh. So just in London?
No. I spent 6 months backpacking around Europe. I spent 10 months in Edinburgh.
Uh-huh.
I loved Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Too cold now, but Edinburgh was great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so you did that for a few years?
Yeah. I was gone for almost 3 years. And when I came back, I finished high school. While I was in high school, I was doing topless barmaiding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really enjoy that. I didn't think the money was worth it.
Uh-huh.
And it was very, it was too dangerous for me. I didn't know who was going to be at the pub I was working at or at the Bucks party.
Yeah. Oh, so that was agency work. You weren't.
I was working for an agency who sent me to different pubs and different parties.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really the best work for you?
No. And also I was going to study legal studies in uni.
Yep.
And... With the idea that I would maybe go into law.
Uh-huh.
So I thought street work wasn't going to cut it for me.
Uh-huh.
So I started working in brothels.
Okay. So how was that for you?
Fantastic. You know, it changed my whole outlook on sex work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How so?
I was more opportunistic before.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I was really young and didn't think much of the clients, didn't respect them, didn't give them a good service.
Yeah. So then you started doing brothel work.
Yeah. And you had to actually spend time with them, you know, at least half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so got to know the clients and got to like them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It ended up being a really good, fun job with good pay.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
And it got me through uni.
Yeah. So how was uni for you?
Uni was interesting because I thought I'd meet a lot more enlightened people there.
Uh-huh.
I thought I could talk about sex work and try to demystify the stereotypes. And all I found that was that people really wanted to hang on to those stereotypes.
Wow, that's interesting. So you're going on this journey changing a lot of the preconceptions that you had about sex work.
That's right.
But then meeting all these people who weren't in sex work but who's still hanging on to those stereotypes.
I suppose it was much easier for them to hang on to that.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't disrupt their nice little life and what they thought of everything. And, you know, everything had its place.
Mm-hmm. So did you study like sex work stuff at uni?
I wrote about sex work at uni. Mm-hmm. I even had an essay published in the Australian Feminist Law Journal.
Fantastic.
It was fantastic, actually, because that made me feel validated, like there was someone who put value in my words.
Yep.
And didn't get paid for it, but it was
but at least you got it out there. Fantastic. And you kept doing brothel work while you were at uni, was that right?
Mm-hmm. I also started working privately.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And did you get to talk about your sex work at uni?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you wrote about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was the reaction like from, I guess, your other students?
Oh, the reactions were, oh, but you're different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're different. You're educated. You're
So it sounded like, you know, the friends you had at uni were almost the same as the friends you had back in the punk scene.
Yeah, I didn't have friends at uni. It was just the people in the tutorials and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they couldn't let go of their preconceived ideas. You know, mm-hmm. they would say things like, yeah, but what about, you know, there's high-class sex workers and then there's the street workers, you know, like trying to distinguish between them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, these conversations and plus the stuff I was studying at uni, mm-hmm. I fell into a big depression.
Yeah.
And I spent the next almost 10 years connecting with myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in therapy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then I decided, well, you know, I did enjoy the job and I went back to it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So you went back to brothel work?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing brothel work for a while and I really loved the camaraderie in the girls' room, which I'd never got outside, but was always searching for it. You know, I'd go to forums and...
Mm-hmm. So you kept doing brothel work?
Yeah, I kept doing brothel work. And that's right, I came across a flyer while I was doing brothel work that said advocacy workshop for sex workers. And
right.
I thought, this is brilliant because I prefer to work privately.
Mm-hmm.
And in Victoria, you need a sex worker number, PCA number at the time.
Yeah, so you needed to register to do sex work.
Yeah, and I refused to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to learn to advocate to have the law removed.
Yeah.
All right. You know? So that was my interest in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you came across
this flyer that said advocacy for sex workers.
Advocacy workshop for sex workers. Mm-hmm. It went for 5 weeks, one day a week.
Yep.
I thought it would also give me the opportunity to connect with other sex workers and a sex worker agency as well.
Okay. Yeah.
It actually turned out that this agency was, well, to put it bluntly, anti-sex work.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, they had made recommendations to the government to make brothels illegal.
Oh, okay, yep.
None of this I knew before I did the workshop.
Yeah.
It was Project Respect.
Okay, yeah. So that's a group based here in Victoria.
That's right. They focus mainly on what they term trafficked victims.
Yeah.
But they use sex workers to get to them because they don't know how else to get to them.
And it sounds like, because you were looking for, I guess, a connection to other workers, that was something that was really appealing to you.
Yeah, but it left me traumatized. Mm-hmm. They basically told me that my opinion didn't matter because I didn't have a majority opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time trying to connect with others.
Yeah.
I have on one of these forums that I was approached by someone who was doing digital storytelling workshops because I'd made a comment that, you know, the problem is sex workers' voices aren't heard, and if they are, they're misinterpreted.
Yeah. We're going to get to that in a minute. We do have to go to some messages, we'll come back to wrap up our talk with Rani. You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Listen to Joy when you want, where you want, with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au. Joy.org.au.
You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We are wrapping up our conversation with Rani. So you were saying that you were at a forum and somebody invited you to a digital storytelling workshop?
Yeah. It was after I made a comment that sex workers' voices don't get heard or they're often misrepresented.
Okay.
He asked me if I'd like to have my voice heard and asked me if I'd like to do a digital story.
Yep, so a digital story is like a short film.
Yes, it is. And I was so excited by the idea. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian, that's where I met you.
That is where you met me. And
then I became a member of Vixen shortly after that. And as they say, the rest is history.
That's amazing. So you that's a 30-year story about, you know, working alone, constantly in isolation, constantly reaching out, trying to connect with other people.
Yeah, and getting slapped back down.
Yeah. And it's so weird because, you know, that digital storytelling workshop was one of the, you know, rare opportunities that Vixen got to collaborate with a community media organization to do a creative project. So the fact that you were there and I was there was like...
Meant to be.
Unfortunately, it has come to the end of the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Sunday is International Day for Sex Worker Rights, and I hope this show has gone some way to sort of highlighting what those are and, you know, the human rights issues that sex workers face, isolation and vulnerability, and the things that we do to challenge them. If you do want to get in contact with one of the sex worker organizations, we have listed them all on our Facebook page, facebook.com/sexworkerradio. That is the Vixen Hour's Facebook page. Now, next week is a very special show. So next week is International Women's Day on March the 8th. But the few days before that, the Vixen Hour is going to pay tribute to International Women's Day by having a special episode on sex workers and motherhood. So we're going to be talking to some sex workers who are mothers, as well as we'll be interviewing some of the children of sex workers. This is a really, really rare opportunity that you'll have. Very few people have probably heard from the children of sex workers. So it's a really awesome opportunity to challenge some prejudice, address those stereotypes, and see what sex workers are really like. Hope you can tune in then. But it has come to the end of the Vixen Hour. I want to thank you, Rani, for sharing your amazing story.
No probs, Christian.
And like I said, you can stay connected to the Vixen Hour via our Facebook page, facebook.com/sexworkerradio. I want to thank Kevin for sending in that email. Yay, thank you. You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.